Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This week, the Bookshelf Cinema is screening Family Farm, Zero Motivation, Gremlins, The Theory of Everything, Wild, and more. On February 7th in the bookstore, Tim Tencher reads from his new book, Picture Your Life to Create a Healthy Mind and Soul. And on February 13th and 14th, the E-Bar presents The Cock Whisperer, A Love Story. The Bookshelf is an independently owned culture hub located at 41 Quebec Street in Guelph. More information about their hours, listings, blogs, and accessibility, please visit bookshelf.ca.
I love you.
Creative Control with Vish Khanna.
Back in October of 2014, I went to the Halifax Pop Explosion, and I recorded 7 episodes of this show over 3 days, which is a little unprecedented. I think it is totally, totally unprecedented. I like going to music festivals or things like that and just giving myself a whole ton of stuff to do. I don't know what it is about me. I like, if I go and I have to MC, that's good. Sometimes I'm reviewing the shows for somebody. Other times I'm chasing interviews like this, and it's great. I like it. I like being busy at these festivals. So, as you may recall, Aaron Mangle of Cousins was on this show. This is from the same trip, and I posted that episode months ago. And Aaron drove me around Halifax, then we ended up at the location of the current location, I think, of the Khyber, which is a cultural center thing. And there was a weird Canada discussion. And so Aaron and I ended there, and then we went to the discussion. And then after the discussion, I ran into Ben and Paul of PS I Love You. So we went from the Khyber, and the journey was meant to take us to Gus's Pub. We were going to walk to Gus's Pub. So that's what you're going to hear. You're going to hear us walking along the streets of Halifax, running into strangers, talking about ourselves and our lives and their music. They are a fantastic band. I'm a huge fan. Their latest album is called For Those Who Stay, and they have been on tour across North America with Death From Above 1979 and Metz, and that tour is on now. This is part of the reason why I'm posting this episode. I wish I'd posted a little bit sooner, but I couldn't get to it. So this is why I'm posting this episode at this point. They are playing in the coming days. You can see them in, let's see here, I think you can see them in Barrie, Ottawa, London, Peterborough, Kingston, and Oshawa, Ontario. And you can learn more about the band at paperbagrecords.com/artist/PS-I-love-you. PS I Love You. Just Google PS I Love You Band and you'll find them. Anyway, they're fantastic. You're going to hear a song from their latest album. And as I say, just a nice, frank conversation. So this is it, myself, and P.S. I Love You.
Creative Control.
The 2015 edition of Hillside Inside takes place February 6th to 8th in various venues in downtown Guelph. Now, while Saturday's show with the new pornographers and operators and Sunday's show featuring Stars and Hey Rosetta are both sold out, you can still get tickets for other stuff, like Friday's Oliver Mitapuzzi and the Black Spirits River Run Center show with Alex Cuba, or the Kid Koala Bad Bad Not Good Bizarre show at Mitchell Hall. There are also still tickets left for the Owen Pallett Jennifer Castle show at St. George's Church Sanctuary Saturday afternoon. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff happening in stores and restaurants and cafes over the weekend. So head over to hillsidefestival.ca for updates and more info. Okay, thanks. Ben? Where's Paul? Okay, there he is.
Beesh?
How's it going?
This is on?
Yeah.
it's good. Fine. We're busy. This is our last show for about a month, I guess.
Where are you playing tonight?
The Olympic Hall with amazing bands such as Bri Webb, secret band Cousins.
Yeah,
and
it's a secret. And
a dream come true for me, Chad Van Galen.
That's a dream come true for you?
Yeah. A couple of years ago, I was very, very obsessed with Chad Van Galen. Because he's, you know, like a renaissance man of art and design and animation and amazing music. I do graphic design.
Oh.
Mostly for our band and Paper Bag Records.
Oh, okay.
Which is a sweet gig.
Do you make films and stuff?
No, I wish.
Okay.
I don't have the patience for that.
All right. No, that's good. That's great.
Yeah.
Chad's a swell guy, too.
I'll be cool.
Are you a little starstruck?
I will be. I would have been 2 years ago, but I'll be cool. I made a fool of myself when I met the band OMD a couple of years ago.
Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark?
Yeah, yeah.
Was that with...
Diamond Rings.
Diamond Rings. That's
yeah,
great.
I know. We'll go to that record store.
Where?
Right there.
Oh, Black Buffalo Records?
Yeah.
Huh.
I bought enough records.
Yeah, I got to stop buying records. You buy a lot of records, Paul?
Yes, I do, Vish.
Have you bought a lot on this trip?
Yeah, we bought a few.
Not so much on this trip, because I haven't found what I'm looking for.
Still haven't found what you're looking for? Are you mostly looking for U2 records?
Yes.
You don't have a copy of that record? I do.
You don't have the Joshua Tree?
I don't, actually. No, I don't.
I'm sure it's secretly in your iTunes.
Go that way?
No, we want to go right
this
over
way?
Here, I think. Yeah. So what's your relationship like with Halifax? We're both from out of town, and we're just... I had a tour earlier of some kind from Aaron Mangle. He just drove me around. But
oh, nice.
How many times have you been to Halifax?
Oh, countless times,
yeah.
I think.
And do you Paul like more it? Than me.
Do you like it?
I like it a lot.
Yeah.
When I was younger, I always envisioned moving here, but somehow I stayed in Kingston.
Was it because of the mid-90s Halifax pop explosion?
Pretty
not
much.
The festival?
Mike
that
O'Neil.
Was a big part of it.
For me, it's Mike O'Neill. I'd move here just for Mike O'Neill.
He would move here just for Mike O'Neill.
But that's interesting because Mike also has a Kingston connection.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. When I was a teen, I I was obsessed with Sloan and Thrush Hermit, and I was like buying Murder Records vinyl before I hit the internet, like with money orders. And then both my sisters lived here. They're older than me, so I'd visit a lot. I spent a lot of summers here as a teen, just kind of staying with family friends and exploring. And that was my first taste of like independence, was in Halifax. I even went to music school here, like jazz camp.
You went to jazz camp in Halifax?
Yeah, it's called the Creative Music Workshop. It was put on by the Jazz Festival.
Oh.
So,
what's the name of that?
There was really great teachers, like sort of East Coast Canadian jazz legends, Jerry Grinnelli and Donald Palmer. And
oh, wow.
Jerry Grinnelli's amazing. Great drummer.
Is he the guy that drummed on the Peanuts theme?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like...
Did we go too far?
I think we can go that way.
He said to turn right at the construction sign. Where's that? Did we already pass the construction sign?
There's pylons here.
Let's go.
Okay, let's go this way. Do you think we're on the right? You know where you've been? I haven't been here in like 8 years.
I don't know. I get lost. I don't have a cell phone. I don't have any sense of direction.
Any opportunity to say he doesn't have a cell phone.
Yeah.
Hold out, people. Why are you so proud of not having a cell phone? I used to be like you. This is not right. We're not in the right spot.
We'll go this way.
We want to go. I don't think this is right, guys.
No, this isn't right.
I think we're going to the right.
My phone?
No, we'll ask these people. Excuse me. Do you know where Gus's pub is?
Yes.
Do we want to be going that way?
Yes.
Oh, we are on the right track.
We're just going to go all the way down.
Sorry, I'm going to put you on a microphone. No, it's fine. Don't worry. It's fine. We're making a podcast. No one's going to know. No one even knows who you are. And I didn't mean to belittle you and suggest you're not famous. I just mean, like, no one's going to hear this and know who you are. So, sorry. Is that kale?
Yes.
That's a lot of kale. Paul is actually a gourmet chef.
Yeah.
Do you have any recommendations for a kale recipe for them?
If you massage it with a little bit of water, massage it with your hands, it'll get less bitter, and you won't even have to cook it.
Really?
It's massaged.
Mm-hmm. How long do you have to massage it?
About 5-10 minutes.
Okay. That's it? Oh, there you go. You got to oil it up or something?
Well, it depends on what you do with it. It's great when it's cooked up, but you can also make a salad just with it raw. If it's massaged, it'll be really nice.
There you go. You can have a kale salad there. This is worth stopping. It's a good thing we got lost, I guess, for you.
Yes.
Now, sorry, where's Gus's?
This way, right?
Yeah, so you're just going to turn right, go all the way down Agricola. There's actually a lot of places where you can buy kale, and so you could stop there, too.
Okay.
And then it's going...
baby kale, pretty much.
You what?
Oh. I've switched to baby kale pretty much all the time.
Baby kale? That sounds horrific.
You just eat it right out of the box or bag.
God. Poor kale. I'm sorry. Sorry. Okay, so we go down there, and then what?
It's just on your right.
It's on your right. Right. You'll see it. Right.
Okay.
About three blocks.
There's a lot of construction here.
We're going to do it. Let's go.
Okay, sorry. Ben's in a hurry. Thank you. Good luck with your kale. Sorry to bother you. All right, there you go. Baby kale. I had no idea there was such a thing.
Yeah, it's
great. Why is it? Is it better? Is it less bitter?
It is less bitter, yeah.
All right, there you go. You're a cook, right? I wasn't bullshitting back there.
No.
I'm a cook.
He could be a gourmet cook, for sure.
Are you considering that? Because you and I once did a thing where you cooked me breakfast when I had a breakfast show.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. And you just seemed to be making it up as you went along. No offense.
Yeah.
That's kind of the great joy of cooking, right? The improvisational nature of it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's like it all comes back to jazz.
That's right.
Your jazz training actually has informed your cooking.
No, I'm kind of serious. Like, once you know the ingredients you're working with, the possibilities are endless.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And so we had the same upbringing on some level in terms of, although you guys, I think, are significantly younger than me. I'm in my mid-30s.
31.
Not significantly. I'm 32 now.
Okay, all right. So that whole Sloan.
I thought you were older than that.
Well, why would you say that to me?
I'm joking.
I'm not. Amount of gray hairs.
I think we do. Yeah.
I'm not that vain. I don't care if you think I'm old. I am a little old.
You're a beautiful man, Beach.
Thank you. Thanks, man. Take it. You too. Now, so that Halifax, that's what I associate the city with a lot too. It has the kind of nostalgic magic of it for me.
Yep.
This place was pretty stunning. And you know, Mike O'Neill's still here. He lives here. He's in Newfoundland.
I know.
This weekend. Oh,
I emailed him and was sad to hear that he was not. Not in Halifax when I was in Halifax.
I think he got a several, because he and I exchanged texts as well.
Yeah.
And I think I could tell by his tone, his text tone, that he'd been getting a lot of messages about, you know, where are you? What's going on?
Yeah.
Anyway, and so when he was, are you from Kingston, Ben?
Yes, born and raised, yeah.
So was it a big deal when the inbreds were around at that point?
Yeah, I mean, more for Paul, just because I was more into mainstream music, but I watched The Wedge every day and, you know, I was aware of what was happening in the city when I lived in the suburbs in Kingston. And more now, it's like meeting and being buds with Michael Neal is a big deal, just because, you know, we're a duo from Kingston and they were a duo from Oshawa, Kingston.
Yeah.
And it's just fun. Like, and he was on Trailer Park Boys too, and he's doing well, you know.
He's doing very well writing
that shows.
Yeah, he's got that Black Jesus show.
Yeah, I'm really proud of him.
I haven't seen. But interestingly, like, for some of us, the inbreds kind of put, I mean, obviously the Tragically Hip put Kingston on the map. But I do think for a number of us, the inbreds were hugely kind of signified Kingston, and yet they really just went to school there.
Well, they are also a band where I remember watching a Sukin Lee, like, live performance with the inbreds on The Wedge once. And
which you can still watch on YouTube.
Yep. And I, you know, she brings up the fact that on their record, they're like proudly put, you know, made in Kingston, Ontario, or their fan club's from Kingston, Ontario. And Paul and I are not ashamed to, you know, say that we're still from Kingston.
Right. Well, you are, though, aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, actually, wait. Where are you living?
Paul lives in Toronto. I still live in Toronto, Kingston. Yeah.
Now, why did you stay in Kingston?
Because my life is better in Kingston. And my girlfriend's doing her PhD, so, you know, even if I wanted to leave, which I don't, I'm not the type to move away from something good.
That's
the only reason I'd move, is if she had got a job somewhere else.
I have a thing where people often used to ask me why I still live in Guelph rather than Toronto, because I was working in Toronto for quite a while.
Yep.
But I really love living away from Toronto and being away from Toronto and just dropping in for a visit.
Me too.
Kingston, though, is, I have the luxury, I was going to say, of only being about an hour away.
Yeah, but I have no, other than playing shows or something to do with the band, like, I have no reason to go to a big city, and I'm a homebody, so, like, I got stuff to do there and cats to hang out with, so.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, I'm a small town guy, and I still prefer that kind of vibe and atmosphere.
Yeah.
I get overwhelmed quite easily in big cities.
Is this okay? Is Halifax feels kind of small town to
me? Yeah, it's nice.
It's not so bad.
I mean, I get lost really easily, so I've just kind of been taking, I've been going to Gus's a lot and just taking the same route back and forth.
Yeah, I hear you. Do you think Randy's Pizza, Seafood, and Donair is good?
The
burger's good? Okay.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Okay, thank you. We'll try it out. There you go. Guy made his way onto my show there. Did you see that?
Yeah, plug.
Randy's Pizza, Seafood, and Donair. What are you? You're hungry, aren't you?
Yeah, I got to eat.
But you want to eat at Gus's?
No, I don't want to eat at Gus's. It's going to be too loud.
Oh, right. There's music playing. Where the hell is Gus's? I still haven't
seen it. It's up
here. Okay. Paul, why did you move to Toronto? Man, I feel like I've gotten 15 yawns of yours on the show already.
Sorry, I'm really sleepy.
Obviously. What? You were out late?
I was out late, and I didn't sleep well.
Are you in a hotel?
No, we're actually in a friend's house, and it's an amazing place, but I just couldn't sleep.
I gotta say, that pizza smells good.
Yeah,
it does.
You wanna go there?
I'm going.
Okay, let's go. We gave it a plug. He said the burgers were good, but I'm gonna have pizza. So, what brought you to Toronto?
I moved there to live with my partner, Emma.
Are you under arrest right now? Why are you? You've been doing this a lot.
Blood flow.
He's walking around raising his hands in the air. You got a blood flow circulation issue?
No, I just like putting my hands up.
It's fun.
I don't know.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, it's Teen. Hey, guys. This is the band Teen. This is PS.
Hi,
I Love You.
Hello.
Hey,
hi,
I'm Ben.
Lizzie.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Hey.
Hi.
My podcast streams are crossing right now.
Teeny.
Nice to see you. How are you guys? What are you doing? Whoa. That's not. Is this because of you? Because you walked up?
Yeah. We just ate some food. Now we're gonna go shopping.
Oh, nice. Did you go to Randy's Pizza, Seafood, and Donair?
No, we didn't.
We should have.
Where'd you go?
Just kidding. I don't know.
We just
Oh, yeah. Okay. Nice. You got the meal voucher there?
Yeah. There's a meal voucher?
Yeah, we did that yesterday. It was great.
Shit, man. I didn't get no meal voucher or veal voucher. Veal voucher. All right. What are you guys doing now? Shopping. Where are you going to go?
Found.
Where?
Austin Found right there.
Oh, what is... Oh, Art Vintage Kitsch.
It's clothes. I don't know why, you know.
Kitsch. Why would they put that in the title? Isn't that kind of a negative connotation?
I don't know.
Forget
it's a nice store.
All right, guys. Well, nice seeing you again. Was your show at the Marquee
good?
No
problem.
Yeah,
nice to meet
really
you guys.
Good.
Yeah, I heard good. I heard good things. I'm sorry I missed it.
Yeah, whatever.
What? By the way, I listened back, and I think our show is going to be good.
Awesome. Good.
I'm going to put it out in November. Now you're on both shows. Teen are great. Do you know this band?
I've heard of this band, but I have not heard
from
the
New York.
Yet.
They're great. They're really. I was
you
blown away
taste.
When I saw them.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. This is P.S. I Love You, and they're also fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that I'm helping. This is ridiculous. We're going to go to Randy's now. Okay, yeah. We'll see you guys around. Are you going to go to anything tonight?
I don't know.
Take it easy. You guys should take a load off. Yeah. Okay, bye. That's Teen. They're great.
Yeah,
I bet.
They seem great.
They're really nice people, and they were really fun on my show.
Three of them are sisters, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You know a bit about them.
I read.
Liebersons.
I read.
You read some stuff.
Yep.
What were we talking about? You remember? Yawning. Sleeping. My God, you're yawning again.
Yeah, sorry. Serious problem. I don't know.
No,
once
fine.
I start, I can't stop.
I hope our arms are okay.
Are we going to keep doing this while we order pizza?
Yeah, we'll do the whole thing. Yeah. Okay, we're kind of crossed up here. You go in and I'll go in. We'll do a thing. Hey, how's it going?
Good.
And we're from out of town and we're doing a podcast.
Just got here myself.
Oh, do you work here?
No.
Oh, okay, sorry to bother you. Hey, how's it going? You guys have like slices?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Root beer.
Oh, it's like a margarita?
I don't know. Looks good to me.
Is there like a veggie slice?
No.
Meat lovers and pepperoni. Is there a veggie slice coming? Or like a margarita or something? Do you make like a cheese pizza?
How many slices do you want to do?
I'm going
to
get a meat lovers slice.
Meat lovers.
Yeah.
10 minutes is great. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. We heard good things about Randy's.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Cool. Where'd Paul go?
I don't know.
Oh, he's over there. Do you want to sit?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, let's have a seat. By the door?
I don't know.
Yeah, by the door. It's fine. Oh, hey, but you're...
You hold
this. I'll hold this. Paul, are you getting something?
Yes.
Here, take this. Just take it.
Can I get a 9-inch garlic fingers, please?
What are you getting?
Garlic fingers.
Garlic? You gotta use the...
Garlic fingers.
Garlic fingers. Okay.
It's like the East Coast pizza alternative.
Is that... should I get the...
Yeah.
Should I get that instead of the pizza? I might get that. Is it good?
Well, it is good. I mean, pizza's also good, so...
Can I have some of your garlic fingers?
Yeah, you can try some.
Okay, do you want some of my pizza?
Sure.
Okay, I'll have the... Okay, we'll wait on the pizza. Thank you.
Also do the can of Pepsi next.
What's Pepsi next?
It's like... It's made with sugar, but like less sugar than normal.
Why is it called Next?
I don't know. I'm not here to promote Pepsi.
I'm sorry.
Products.
I'm sorry. Just, it just seems weird just that they would call
I'm
it Next.
I'm just getting a pop.
Okay, I'll sit over here. I'll sit beside. That's a big pizza.
Oh, that man. Is a huge pizza.
Oh, man.
Just get a picture of Ben with that pizza.
I gotta say, I've been doing a lot of this.
Yeah.
Over the last couple days. This is the second last one. I've done like 7 episodes of my show in like 3 days. And, I think I'm holding it together, but it feels like I'm running out of steam a little bit. So this pizza and garlic finger combination is going to be good.
It's going to be great.
Yeah, you're going to...
After this, you got like 7 or 8, 9 episodes of your show done.
Yeah, and
take it easy.
We're having a baby in December.
Oh, wow.
So that's going to obviously slow some stuff down. Is there a topical reason why this episode should be up like ahead of... When's your tour with DFA?
Starts in late January.
Oh, it's not even till January.
Yeah.
I could save this till then.
Good.
That's a banked episode right there.
Yeah.
In the bank, episode in the bank.
I'm touring with RAA, Royal Alberta Advantage, in Europe. But I guess that doesn't matter for Canadians.
It doesn't matter. This is an international podcast. Most of my listeners are actually from the United States of America.
Whoa. Oh, really?
Well, we're not going there in a while.
That's okay. It's okay. They still need to know about PS. Okay, so did you answer the question about why you ended up in Toronto? Did he?
But some traffic went by and then Teen showed up. So.
Yeah, okay. What was your answer? Why did you end up in Toronto?
I basically moved there to live with my partner, Emma. We were in a long-distance relationship for a couple years. And she was in Montreal, and I I was in Kingston. She didn't want to move to Kingston. I didn't feel like moving to Montreal, but we definitely had to live together, you know?
Yeah, of course.
So we just moved to Toronto. It was like split the difference, go to Toronto.
Oh, wait, is Toronto the difference?
No.
You just moved further.
I just like saying that.
You moved further west of either where either of you were. That's not the difference at all. Are you enjoying living in Toronto?
Yeah, it's great.
You like it?
Yeah, it's fine.
It's everything you want is kind of nearby.
Yeah, I like Toronto because I sort of approach it from a... I have this like lens of no pressure.
No pressure?
That I see things through. Like, a lot of people get stressed out when they think about Toronto. It's a big city, but like, you know, I just like stay calm and don't do much, and it's great. It's a totally malleable place. Like, there's lots of different music scenes and cool shows, and you can kind of dip in and out whenever you want. You're not really responsible for anything. You know, I have like a job and an apartment and stuff, and you know, normal life responsibilities, but like in Kingston, I felt like I was almost always, like people would look to me for something.
You felt like you were a figure in the community that people recognized and...
Yeah, and in recent years, I kind of like, kind of skulked away from that because I don't feel like I have any more to offer, so...
Were you active in your communities beyond playing music? Like, were you guys putting
on
shows
over the
and
past
stuff?
Eight years, yeah, for sure. Like, not as much as other people. I mostly just played shows and DJ'd parties, and I helped put on a bunch of shows before, but I that's not a life for me.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah. It's not.
It's hard.
That
it's like
fun.
The kind of hard work that I'm not good at.
It's rewarding because you're contributing to the community, but it's a lot of hard work and thankless work. You know, people.
I don't need to be thanked, but I need. I like. I don't know.
I don't want to. It's not that you need to be thanked. I just mean like sometimes the amount. I don't think that the amount of work that you put into promoting a show well necessarily comes back to you.
No.
Other than the fact that you've contributed to your community.
I mean, for the past several years, though, I've mostly just focused on writing, recording, and performing music, and doing the best that I can do.
Yeah.
That we can do.
Yeah.
And then let everyone else do the work around that.
Yeah.
So that we can. Perform.
Ben, how's your pizza?
It's pretty good. Yeah. Meat lovers.
Yes, sir. What do you got on there?
It looks like pepperoni under there, bacon. I don't know what that brown stuff is.
Ben loves meat.
I like meat.
Yeah, that's good. No, that's good.
One time in China, he ate donkey.
Oh, you ate a donkey?
I ate an entire donkey. No, I ate a donkey sandwich by accident. Because it was called Delicious Donkey Fire, and maybe I was so fried from traveling that I thought it was just like the name Whopper or Big Mac. And halfway through it.
Like how buffalo wings? It's not actually buffalo?
Yeah, yeah.
Someone I know in a band is traveling, as we're speaking, his band is traveling through Europe, and on the Finnish airline they are on, he was offered reindeer meat.
Oh,
wow.
That's sad.
Which I guess is not the same as venison.
Well, it's a different animal.
Right, but deer is what reindeer and deer? They're not related.
I think they're like different versions of a similar thing.
Well, they are clearly. There's the word is.
But like it's like a deer and like a caribou are different.
You would eat caribou. Well, yeah, that clearly. Okay, you're right.
People eat caribous.
You wouldn't call reindeer. It wouldn't be rain venison. It's just it's
deer is reindeer.
Okay, all right, reindeer.
Actually, I don't know. I'm not a meat eater myself, so I don't.
Sounds barbaric, doesn't it?
I guess so.
Eating
a
reindeer, we think of reindeer as being very cute. Christmassy, and then they're serving it on the plane.
Donkeys are cute too. That's why I felt so bad. But it was really in being a meat eater. It was the first time in my life where I was like, oh, you know, I pictured the animal that I was eating, and I felt bad about it.
Yeah.
Whereas other animals, chickens and pigs and stuff, which are cute too, but you know, you look see it as a piece of meat rather than picturing the animal like it's a substance.
Yeah.
It's funny how. I don't eat meat, but I don't find it shocking when someone eats a reindeer. Because it's like, in my mind, it's like all part of the same thing. Like,
oh, sorry.
You eat a cow, you eat like...
Yeah, we're...
You eat a cat. Like, it's no difference to me.
Yeah, I guess. It does seem weird to me, but that's the whole reason I stopped eating meat when I was in high school.
Well, yeah, me too.
Ethically, I felt weird.
It's weird.
But it's wavered... I mean, it wavered for me here and there, and particularly when you have a child and your family and you're exhausted, you start to be, and you're making like the alternative dinner, like the slightly alternative dinner to what the rest of your family's having. It does start to get to you a little bit. You're like,
I can imagine.
Why am I putting this effort into it? Have you been a long-term vegetarian?
I have been, what, 16 years?
Yeah.
Has
it ever come close?
I have. Well, the thing for me is that I've never had the experience of like killing a pig, you know, and then eating it.
Very few of us would.
Yeah, but I feel like if you don't have that, like, how can I know what it truly means to eat meat? You know?
Huh.
Like, that's what's weird for me.
Remember that scene in First Blood?
Yeah.
Where he kills the boar?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Uh-huh. And then he eats it later?
Yeah, if I was Rambo in that situation, I'd do what I had to do to survive.
Yeah, like if you were John J. Let's just say for argument's sake that you're John J. Rambo.
Yeah.
And you're trapped, you're on the loose, you're a fugitive in the Pacific Northwest. I think that's where it would take place. And then there's a boar running by.
Yeah.
You would have fashioned a spear
and
leaped from a tree and killed the boar and eaten the boar. You would do that to survive.
I would do that, and then I would know what it means to be a meat eater.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
and good. Like I have respect for...
Oh, you got your garlic fingers. You can go. You can just, drop that down. It's fine. All right, we're going to try the garlic fingers in a second.
Yeah. You getting Donair sauce, too?
I don't know if Paul's getting Donair. Why? Was that a good thing?
Yeah.
What's in the Donair sauce?
I have no idea what's in it, but it's sweet and delicious.
Should we have Donair sauce with the garlic fingers? Yeah. It's in there? Oh, okay. Is there, what's in the... It's just the tomato sauce or something?
Mm-mm. What's in Donair sauce?
Oh, it's vegetarian? It would be if you...
I'm not vegan, so...
Milk, sugar, and vinegar? Oh, okay, cool. Whoa, that looks good. That might have been... I should have got that.
Yeah.
I don't think I've been eating particularly well since I've been in Halifax.
I have not been eating too much money. It's because of the garlic fingers.
That looks good, though. I might... You know what I would do, though? I know you're a chef and you know how to eat. I would let that cool.
Yeah.
Congeal a little bit.
I'm not. Also not going to eat it while I have this microphone in my face.
Why not? This is how the show... That's okay, like, fine. Maybe we'll trade off and give it to Ben and I'll... Whatever. Ben, you done? I kind of more interested in what that Pepsi Next tastes like. There's also sort of alternate. We live in a world of. There's a cheese slice. Is it okay? Oh, what's on the veggie? Do you ever like? I guess I should get the veggie. Yeah, I'll get the veggie. Sometimes I just like a cheese pizza. I like the plainness of it.
Yep.
The veggies sometimes are a little overwhelming. Okay. I'll get it in a... Okay, hang on. I got to go now, too. I'm going to get the pizza. You got both mics?
Got both mics. Podcast. Beesh. Kana. Pizza time. Time for pizza.
Sorry. Do you guys have Twitter or... Facebook? Okay, I'll mention you on Facebook.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, thanks. Have you ever had a, like, Mexican Coke?
Yeah.
It's like made with real sugar.
Cane sugar.
Yeah. This is made with real sugar and not like the concentrated stuff. So
hang on, we gotta be talking about this on the show.
Well, I don't wanna like be like a spokesman.
No, I just wanna talk about the...
I'll do a Pepsi ad.
No, don't do a Pepsi ad. He's right. We can't just hype Pepsi. But he did mention the Mexican cola. Let's say Mexican cola.
Yeah.
And how they use cane sugar. Can I try one of the garlic fingers? Here, should I just pull it up? Is it better with the sauce?
The sauce makes it like a dessert almost.
Yeah.
Because it's sweet?
It's kind of a gross thing at first, but then you let me
All right. I'll try it first with the sauce. How did you two find each other, Ben?
Me and Paul?
Uh-huh.
Local friends, I guess. Same friend circle, but Paul and I were both on the other side of that friend circle on the outside. And Paul worked at a cafe that I always frequented.
What was the name of that thing?
The Sleepless Goat.
Yeah. You cooked there, right?
Yeah.
Paul cooked there?
Yeah.
And you went there?
I went there and then mutual friends and we were both musicians and...
This is great.
Slowly discovered that we had a lot in common and started a band and then started another band.
The band was called Magic Jordan?
Yep.
What was that band about? What did Paul, that band do? Was Paul, it like PS?
Well, it was kind of more like Holy Fuck. Like a dance punk instrumental with some singing.
No guitar.
Yeah, no guitar. Just bass... Bass, two synths, and drums.
What's your first instrument, Paul?
Well, my first instrument is guitar, but then I got serious about the bass.
Yeah.
and took bass lessons when I was young. I love the bass, but kind of like as I kept playing and grew up more, guitar kind of came to the top. But I mentioned earlier about jazz school, like in Halifax, I did, you know, a couple years guitar and a couple years bass. I even had Jerry Grinnelli tell me, like, you're a bass player, it's in your soul. And I took that very seriously, but I guess now in PS I Love You, I'm the guitar player. I mean, I play the bass synth, you know, live, but I don't know. I've always loved the bass, and I like that Benjamin and my, like, our musical union started as a rhythm section.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And I think there's an understanding there that a lot of people don't have in bands. Like, if it was just a lead guitarist and a drummer, I don't think it would be, like, connected in a good way. But we have that history together of, you know, holding it down, basically. A lot of beeping going on outside.
Yeah, I don't know what the...
Drama.
But yeah, the bass player and the drummer have a unique relationship. They're the solid foundation of a regular band, so... That kind of carried over into PS I Love You, I believe.
Why are you pointing that at me?
Do you have something there?
Just wondering if you need it.
No, I need that one.
Okay.
That sounds interesting. What do you have perspective on that? Like, do you feel like you have a particular chemistry because of this dynamic that he's talking about?
Yeah. I mean, I think being in that other band has definitely made me and Paul realize that we have a good rhythm connection and a Rhythm Nation connection. But, like, I don't know.
As far as I understand it, we're all part of a Rhythm Nation.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good with two people because there's less heads, and I've been in a few other bands where it's more than two people and it's more frustrating. And I don't know. Paul and I just stuck together for so many years just because I don't want to. I'm lazy.
There's a perception among people who know the band and are friends with the band that in some cases, Ben, you are reluctantly in this band sometimes. Aspects of it.
As of late, like, I still don't sing live, but I sing backup on our records, and I know I'm kind of holding the band back by not doing that live. It's just really scary.
You sing lead on a couple songs on the new record,
right? The last one, yeah. On at the very end of the record, yeah. That's me singing.
We did a thing once where we were all in Hamilton.
Yeah.
For a super crawl.
Yeah.
And there was karaoke after.
Yeah, you did Kanye.
I did a Kanye West song, and that seemed to go over kind of well.
It was sweet. Yep.
But you did a Bowie song.
Yeah, Bowie's my man.
And it was remarkable. I didn't know you had that in you.
Yeah.
You talk about Chad Van Galen being kind of a Renaissance man. In that moment, for me, you became Mr. Renaissance.
Thanks. Thanks, Vish.
It's pretty remarkable.
That's
so
nice.
When you say you're holding the band back by not doing it
live, well, I feel like we could, in terms of a live show, it would be something new. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, don't say you're holding the band back.
Okay.
That's not true.
I'll stop saying that to myself.
Yeah. Don't say that.
Paul's not happy that you said
that. No, that's good. That's nice.
I kind of want to know, though, like, what is it about this process? First of all, I don't know if I'm hitting on something that's accurate or not, but there is a sense sometimes that this is something you do.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I
mean,
doing it, but the whole rigmarole can get a bit much.
Lately, like, you know, I have a life in Kingston, and I'm kind of an anxious person, so touring was very hard in the beginning, being away from home and my girlfriend and stuff. And in the past year, basically, I've just accepted this as another job, and like we're lucky to get to travel the world and play music to people, and it's pretty wicked. You just know, you have to know how to put it in its place and handle it and stay together on the road and communicate from the road and keep your life at home together. And now I'm enjoying being in this band, like, for real. Like, playing live is not so scary as it used to be, and making music is a lot of fun.
Conceivably, you might be singing live.
Perhaps.
If you get comfortable.
Within the year, maybe.
We talked earlier about The Wedge and Mike O'Neill and some of the people that you admired growing up. Mm-hmm. Who were your kind of key... is he your key influence? Or
no. Bowie has been a long influence for a long time. I like synth pop now. Like, OMD is a big deal for me. But growing up, it was Pearl Jam and Smashing Pumpkins and...
Yeah.
Mainstream grunge.
Yeah. And what about drumming? When did you start?
Oh, I like. Well, I started drumming in high school and then stopped during college. And I also played guitar and stuff at that time, but I didn't get back into drumming until Paul and I started a band and kind of relearned how to play the drums.
Do you have? Are there people you admire in terms of how
drumming?
They play?
Yeah. Stephen Morris from Joy Division and New Order is probably my favorite and most influential, at least in my style from the past, especially our earlier records.
What is it about Steven's
he's
playing?
Very simple drummer.
Simple?
Not flashy. And I try to drum like that, where it's just, you know, the groove. And like, I'm in a band with Paul who has a lot to do and a lot of flashy guitar stuff, so I don't want to crowd that space. And being a simple drummer is easier to be a simple drummer. And I mean, I've always loved music with drum machines too, and that's how our band started, because Paul's first EP was all drum machines, and I played live with him and had to kind of replicate that drum machine sound and beats. So like, that's where I come from, mostly more less than a live drummer. I'm more interested in drum machines.
So when you say simple drumming, I play drums, and John Worster recently wrote a really touching tribute to Tommy Ramone.
Passed away. Yeah.
When he passed away, he wrote this really nice thing, and he talked about the fact that it isn't until somewhere through the second album.
Yeah.
If you go through the Ramones songs in order, it isn't until like somewhere through the second album that Tommy does the first drum roll on a Ramones song.
Oh, wow.
Everything is just so straight ahead. Is that something you're talking about when you talk about simplicity? Just like keeping things basic?
And I mean, I might be, you know, it might scare me to try new things, which has been a common theme in my life, but yeah, I mean, I like keeping it simple because I'm not going to challenge myself enough to try to do a roll or something, you know? But I surprise myself sometimes.
So sometimes Ben's drumming is described as, like, relentless and, like, very, like, forward-moving.
Yeah.
Like, he just sort of will lay into a beat and just pound it out, like, really strictly and hard, and it's... It's really the thing that takes like the songs to that level of I don't know, ferociousness that we aspire to live.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I really like it. That's all I want to say.
That's nice. Paul's pretty good at playing the guitar. Yeah.
No, Paul's a fantastic guitar player. The first time I saw PS, probably was at Jimmy Jazz or something.
Yeah, probably.
Guelph, I remember.
I think Rachel Coyne was opening.
Yeah, that's right. And I bought a 7-inch and something else. I can't remember what else that you sold me that night.
Yeah.
Probably some great food or food ideas. But anyway, I was just so particularly impressed by Paul, the guitar playing. Paul, you say you started on bass essentially, and that Jerry Grinnelli told you you were born to play the bass. But can you talk a little bit about your guitar playing and what influences this? Because, you know, you say it's busy. I don't want to say it's flashy, but it's a lot of lead playing.
Everything needs to be there, Paul does. Paul doesn't do anything that isn't necessary.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on.
Can you talk a little bit about, you know, where that stems from, who's influenced you and your approach to playing in PS?
Talking about this is where I get kind of boring.
It's a boring question on some level. Like, I know where this is going, and I don't want to get too technical, but your guitar playing is very noteworthy. Everyone who sees it knows that you're a fucking shit-hot guitar player.
Yeah.
That's all I want to kind of address. Because I know you're a modest guy, and I don't want to put you in a weird position. But I'm just curious about this because I know, and we've talked over the years about influences. I know you're a big Sonic Youth fan. I think you're a dinosaur. Are you a Jay Maskus guy? Yeah. So, and I think I've compared you to Jay Maskus a little bit. Anyway, I'm just curious who your guys were, who your ladies were, who you liked, and where it comes from.
I can trace my musical influence back to a single moment when I first heard the song Anesthesia by Metallica, which is a bass solo. So somehow wanting to be like Cliff Burton, who tragically died too young, set me on a path to just want to play those kinds of melodies that just brought out the kind of feeling that that song brought in me, you know? So that's what I aspire to do. And, like, my biggest guitar playing influence is, like, Jimi Hendrix. And, like, everyone says Jimi Hendrix. But, like, I am really into Jimi Hendrix. Like, I've spent so much time listening to pretty much everything that he's ever done or been on. You know, bootlegs, you know, excuse me. Like, other bands that he's played in before he was his own famous person, and I've watched all of his concert footage that I could find. And
Jimmy was in, was Jimmy in Famous Flames?
That was his band, like, that he had in New York, with Jimmy James and the Famous Flames.
Right, right, yeah. Is that
but
the
he,
one
he also, No. I also mean, like, he's on some, like, Little Richard songs and some Isley Brothers songs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you could totally hear how his style kind of develops when you listen back to that stuff, but
So is it, he is known, I mean, there's, he is a, you say it's like a fairly obvious thing to reference. He's known for being technically really amazing, but I think those who follow music also recognize that he was a complete innovator.
Yeah.
Like, no one had done what he did.
No.
So when you say you admire him, is it primarily, is it, obviously technically he was great, but do you also aspire to be that inventive or innovative with your instrument?
Maybe innovative. Inventive is an area that I don't know. I don't know how to be inventive with the electric guitar. You know, my style of electric guitar playing, and like most of what electric guitar playing is, sort of, I don't know what else there is to invent about that. And for me, like, it all really kind of starts with Jimi Hendrix. I mean, obviously it doesn't, but, like, his whole style of playing, like, he was the only guitarist, but he was also the only guitarist in the band. And he kind of just would carry a song with the one guitar in a way that I truly love and that I try to do myself. And, like, studying footage of him playing, like, what his left his right hand would be doing on the fretboard, I try to do with my left hand on the fretboard, like, playing a lot of chords with, like, my thumb and, like, spreading my hand out in unique ways, and, like, just the way he would play chords in this, like, weird shape. Maybe it's because he originally learned how to play guitar, like, upside down, left-handed, like, like, I've learned a lot just technically by just observing that. And see, this is where it gets kind of boring when I just go,
it's not boring. No, it's not boring. I think it's interesting because on one level, I think you say Jimi Hendrix. Even I'm thinking about the fact that when I write this up and for the accompanying blog post, I always just write very quick nods to what has been discussed. So in this case, I'd probably just write Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
And but you've unpacked a whole thing about Jimi Hendrix that I don't think people would recognize necessarily.
Well, just being the...
He's an icon, too. Like, he's not just a... Like, he's beyond a guitar player. He's a cultural icon.
Yeah.
So I think that sometimes we don't think enough about those people. We just sort of accept that they existed.
Sometimes it's a cultural icon in a way that really annoys me. Like, I'm not, like, I don't have, like, a Jimi Hendrix poster next to my Bob Marley flag. Like, I'm not, like, a dope-smoking hippie.
What is next to your Bob Marley flag?
I don't have a Bob Marley flag. I'm just joking.
Okay.
All but, you know, like, that kind of cultural icon, like... You know, I don't have, like, a Forever 27 poster with, like, Jim Morrison and Janis Joplin and all that stuff. Like,
you're not a hippie, and you're not... I see what you're saying. You didn't get trapped in the hype of
No, not at all.
You actually are looking at this artist in terms of substance.
Yeah.
And I think that is something that's overshadowed by the myth.
Yeah.
Mythology around them. And I think... So I know what you're saying. It's, I don't want to have a This isn't necessarily a musician's podcast. Like, I'm not going to talk about the chords you played and and, you know, arpeggios. Like, I just think, but I do think it's interesting when you mention Jimi Hendrix, what that means.
Yeah.
Okay. And that makes sense to me, though, like listening to the band. I kind of, you have been sort of lumped in probably by people like me for years in sort of indie rock.
Yeah.
Is that limiting? Is that strange?
It is limiting and strange, but it's also like, it's also fine. Like, I think, like, our music is, like, as much as we try to make it catchy and fun, like, it's pretty strange.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I am not a typical sort of vocalist. And I think that's where the indie part comes in. Like, singing with a voice that's, like, you're not going to hear on the radio. That makes us an indie band, I think.
Yeah,
it's this weird middle area of the music world that Paul and I belong to, and, you know, we're lucky to be sitting here with you. So, like, I mean, you just can't forget that we're lucky to even be in a band and playing shows and making records and doing all that fun stuff. Yeah, in Halifax.
I am lucky to be eating this pizza, which rivals Toronto pizza slices.
It looks pretty good.
It's actually fantastic. The sauce is great. It tastes like a margarita.
One thing that they really get here is, like, pizza dough.
Yeah.
And how, like, doughy pizza is actually really good. Like, this whole thin crust movement is bullshit.
Yeah, it's kind of not so good. Or it can be good, actually. Sometimes I appreciate it, but this is, like, fantastic. Mm. I'm going to keep eating it. I was thinking about the new album, For Those I Stay, which would have been a more interesting title.
Thanks for staying.
For Those Who Stay. And I remember I kind of wrote something up about it and talked about how...
You gave a great review in Exclaim, I think.
Yeah, I gave it a nice review. You enjoyed it?
Yeah, thanks.
But you get reviews where something's off. Like, I wonder sometimes if I was off the mark. I kind of talked a little bit about how hard done by some of the songs sound. They sounded becoming from a place of pain. Is that accurate? And even the title, I wondered what it was about. There seemed to be this desperation or regret or something going on.
Well, that's just what I draw from, I think. It's kind of like the burden of being a creative but depressed person. Like pain and desperation and those sorts of negative feelings are what end up channeling into the music. So it's like this cycle of, like, bad vibes that feed the thing that's good, you know? The good being the music that we do and perform. So, I don't know, like, there is, like... We're not, like, an emo band. I try to remain, like... I have a relatively mature perspective about, you know, the problems of my life. And then I try to think about how other people can relate to them. All our songs are about problems, basically.
When you say depressed, I don't know how if it's more advanced than someone else's depression, or are you clinically?
Well, I can't really. Can't really speak to that because I don't really know.
Like, have you been? Do you go to? Is there a doctor? Do you have, like?
Oh, well, I mean, I've been diagnosed clinical depressed before.
I've been
on medication. I've been hospitalized. Like, but for me, it's just part of my normal life. Like,
I didn't know you struggled with this.
Yeah,
I don't mean to even suggest you're struggling. I didn't know that.
It was a bigger issue when I was younger. As I get older, I don't feel things as deeply. That's not a bad thing. It sounds bad.
You're
but it's not.
Mellowing a bit.
Yeah, I think so.
Ben, how does this impact you?
Paul being a bummer. It's fine. I'm a bummer too, man. I think that's why Paul and I became buds, is because we're just quiet and shy, and we know how life can bog you down, but, you know, you got to put your head down and party through.
You mentioned that you're shy, and you mentioned that you're...
I'm on meds for anxiety right now, and I guess it's working, but I feel like I've changed my mental attitude towards
a lot of things, including being in the band and stuff. So, you know.
I spend more time lying in bed like Brian Wilson did than partying.
No, I did not know. I mean, what I kind of touched upon in assessing the record was that I just got the impression there was some low self-opinion stuff happening. Not in a Rollins Band way. but like
not a fun way.
No, but it did seem like there's a line in one of the songs. It's one of the first songs there, maybe on the record, where it's like, I'm sorry I forgot to do the thing I said I was going to do last week.
Yeah.
And that to
but
me
I try to be funny about it. Maybe it doesn't come off as funny.
No, it's a very funny joke, but then with the way you also phrase it and deliver it, it becomes this anguished thing. Like, it does seem like there's a lot going on with you two, and now I guess I have some insight into it.
Yeah. Maybe too much insight.
It's kind of more, like, sarcastic. Like, we know we're not working hard enough.
Yeah.
And sorry about that, but, you know, there's all this other stuff.
That song's kind of about a... how, like, our record label Paperbag does a lot of work to get us to where we are.
Yeah.
And Ben and I, like, just aren't good at doing stuff a lot of the times. So, like...
Which is sometimes why people, like, you have people like Paperbag
and
people that kind of usher you along.
It works out for the best. And, like, you know, we love the work that they do. And we, like... You know, if it weren't for them, we wouldn't have records out anyway. So... But I think... like, I think I said in an email, like, this is working, you know, in my mind at least. I think I said that to our management once in an email discussion. And then I thought, that's a really funny thing to say because it actually sounds like nothing is working.
There's also a song called Bad Brain Day. And, and now that we've delved into it, I mean, that also, now that I think about it, really came across as having this cognizance of your own mind working in a way that isn't satisfying for you in some ways.
Yeah, I guess so. That song is kind of a nod to my girlfriend Emma, who said that phrase "bad brain day" at one point, and it was just like I don't know. I was having a day where I didn't get out of bed, and I was feeling shitty. And she said, "Like, oh, it's okay. You're just having a bad brain day. Like, that's a thing that happens."
It's not a reference to bad brains.
Well, not specifically, no. I mean, obviously, the term bad brain brings up bad brains, and, like, both her and I are both Bad Brains fans, and, like, the Ramones song where Bad Brains got their name is, like, my favorite Ramones song of all time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it's all seeping into that.
Yeah, yeah. It all just sort of, you know, crumbles down through a big filter and then ends up being that song, Bad Brain Day.
Right.
Yeah.
Ben, did you contribute lyrics to the album?
Yeah, just the very end, like, the last verse or whatever.
Of what song?
Hoarders. The very last song.
Do you do a lot of songwriting?
No, I'm like, I mean, the way Paul and I work is that he'll write riffs at home or whatever, and then we'll get together and practice, and then I'll write drums and we'll structure songs from there. Lyric writing is a scary thing for me, but with that song, I just had watched like 2 David Lynch documentaries, so it's kind of like loosely based in Twin Peaks and Lost and losing my cat a year ago and stuff, so it's all just light and dark and basically David Lynch references.
Sorry, Paul's wiggling the microphone.
Yeah,
I'm trying to signal him to keep a firm kung fu grip on there. Yeah, thank you. What were the David Lynch documentaries about?
Just his career. Like, mostly the movies up until, like, Lost Highway. Because it came out when Lost Highway was... There's one that came out when Lost Highway was to be released. That's pretty good. But then there's one from the 80s that's up to Blue Velvet and Twin Peaks and stuff.
He's a big deal for you?
Yeah, I like David Lynch quite a bit. And when we were making the record, I was getting more and more into David Lynch. So, I mean, he deals with different dimensions and, like, you know, other worlds, and at the same time being, like, being scary and funny and, you know, I don't know. He's a fun guy.
He is kind of a fun guy. Are you excited about the new Twin Peaks?
Yeah. I think it'll probably be better than season 2. So, yeah,
hopefully.
I'm excited. I just have to wait till 2016, which I can wait for it.
Oh, that's exciting. Well, speaking of the future, I like that there was kind of a gruff dude here a few moments ago, and he leaned over and he's like, "You guys recording a podcast?"
Yeah.
He knew what was going down.
I just like that he knew it was a podcast. It wasn't just like... I guess that makes sense. wasn't like, what are you doing? He was like, it could have been for anything. He just picked podcasts. It's so pervasive. Have you been on many podcasts?
A few, I guess. A
couple?
I don't know.
Well, you and I did one.
Yeah, yeah.
Like years ago.
I feel like I've been on another CBC Dudes podcast. Yeah. I don't know. That might have been just on the air.
It's fun to do these.
This is fun. It's very free.
What's coming up next for PS? I Love You. This record's been out a few months.
Yeah.
April or something? No.
July.
July. Yeah. Right. And you've got... You've mentioned you've done a lot of touring. What's coming up next?
In late November, we started a tour of Europe with Rural Alberta Advantage, who are some awesome label mates of ours. And then after that, in January, we hit the road with Death From Above, 1979, and Metz. And that's an awesome lineup. We're really happy to be on it. It's going to be scary touring Western Canada in the winter, but hopefully we survive the drives. And it's the kind of show where, I don't know, it's like three of the loudest bands, I think, in Canada. Everyone's going to get a headache, but I think people are going to love those shows. So I'm excited to be part of that tour.
Yeah.
And in between touring, we're going to try to, like, you know, work on new songs, maybe get some other songs recorded. Like, we have some leftovers from our other recording sessions for Those Who Stay album, and you know, I got a lot of other new songs sort of in my head that I'd like to record, so yeah, we'll just keep moving forward, releasing more music, playing more shows.
Agreed. Got nothing else to do.
You guys played a bunch with Metz? Or you've done some, you
said?
We
played a couple shows with Metz, yeah. Not so much recently, but yeah.
Oh yeah, I did one in Guelph. That was for my charity thing. That was great. Thank you for doing that.
We played with them in Kingston before too, like years ago. Like, Mets used to play in Kingston all the time. Our friend Mark would book them, kind of pre-Sub Pop Mets. So we played with them back then, in like really small spaces. And
DFA, like, have you played with Death From Above 1979?
We did a tour with them in 2012, just a short tour, kind of around Ontario, Quebec.
That's cool. They asked you back.
Yeah, it's great.
It's actually a great bill. Is there a Toronto show?
No.
It's all Western Canada.
No, there's like, there's no Guelph, but there's Peterborough and Oshawa. There's like smaller cities, but no Toronto, no Guelph.
I think they're playing
Kingston,
Montreal,
Ottawa.
Toronto on their own.
Okay, I'd like to come to one of these shows.
Yeah.
Maybe I can drive you.
Maybe you can.
You need a driver, right?
We will.
Okay, let's be in touch about that. I'll drive you somewhere. Yeah, it'll be good. All right, gentlemen, I appreciate the time. This pizza at Randy's was amazing.
Really good.
Thanks, guys. This was great. Really, really tasty. And is there a song for Those Who Stay that we can go out on?
Let's put Hoarders on. Why not?
Right? Hoarders?
Hoarders. Yeah,
sure. Last track on the album?
Yeah. Hoarders.
We already talked about it.
Yeah.
We don't have to explain it. We'll just play it. Oh, where can people learn more about you?
The internet.
Where? What do they do? What's the website? Do you got a website?
We do have a website, psiloveyouband.com.
Most of the action is on the Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're good on the Twitter.
At psiloveyouband. And there's a Facebook as well, and there's a Instagram.
You and I go back and forth on Twitter sometimes. I like it.
Yeah, it's fun.
Very rarely, but it's good.
Yeah.
Instagram sometimes. I like following you
on Instagram. Yeah.
You did a cool thing where when you were making the new record, you would Instagram little videos of stuff that was going on.
Yeah.
For the fans.
All right, well, let's go out on Hoarders. Paul, Ben, I like you guys a lot, and I want to thank you for joining me on this trek through Halifax.
Thanks, Fish.
And we'll talk soon.
Yep.
Hey, thanks again for checking out Creative Control with Vish Khanna. You can email me about the show at creativecontrol933@gmail.com. That's creative with a K, control with a K, 933@gmail.com. You can also follow our Twitter at Vish Creative, VishKreative. And you can also like our Facebook page. A version of this show airs on CFRU in Guelph every Wednesday at noon Eastern. And you can listen to that online at CFRU.ca, or if you're in the KW region, at 93.3 FM in Guelph. You can also sign up for the weekly mailing list for the podcast and the show at vishkana.com, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. I believe that is everything I wanted to tell you. Thank you once again.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.